listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the Team Shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Great honor and privilege to bring to you now from NFL Films, the great Greg Cosell, joining Vic and myself on Cleveland Browns Daily here, driven by Liberty Ford. And Greg, thanks so much for joining us. Let's get right into it. Obviously, quarterback, a huge topic of conversation in Cleveland. If you were drafting for the Browns based on what you've seen on film, who would you take, if anyone, at number four?
Well, if anyone, I would take Blake Bortles, but I think that this is not a great quarterback class, and I think you have to look long and hard at what you want to do at four, because if you miss on a quarterback, it'll be a problem. But Bortles, based on my study up to this point, would be the guy I think would become the best quarterback in this group.
And what? Why do you say that, Greg? What are some of the things that stand out? I know you and I watched those quarterback drills on Sunday, but your research on this goes well beyond what we saw in Indianapolis. So break it down for us a little bit.
Well, I think that Bortles is, first of all, he's a big kid. And I think we've gotten away, because Russell Wilson was a Super Bowl winning quarterback, I think we've gotten away from this idea of size and as being important. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think size is a significant attribute for an NFL quarterback. I think Bortles is a work in progress, but overall, he's a comfortable player. He's got developing pocket skills, and he has movement ability. I think he needs a lot of work on his lower body mechanics. He does not really drive the ball because of that, and has a tendency at times to push the ball. But I think he has a naturally strong arm. I just think he needs a lot of work with his mechanics. When all said and done, I think he's a big physical kid who's essentially a pocket quarterback but has the ability to execute boot action. He can extend plays. You can run the option elements in your offense because of his movement. So I think he gives you all that you ideally want at the position. He's just a work in progress.
I've noticed with Blake Bortles that he oftentimes throwing to the left hash or sideline, doesn't step into that throw, opens up instead, sometimes loses accuracy and power. And Greg, is that something that's easily correctable in your mind?
I don't think anything's easily correctable, but it's correctable. When a guy has been throwing a certain way for a long time, you know, people assume, oh, we'll fix that. And it's all fixable, believe me. But I think it's something you have to consistently work on day after day after day. And quite frankly, you don't necessarily get the time to do that because there's limited amounts of off-season work.
Greg Cosell, our guest from NFL Films. He is the producer of the NFL Edge Matchup Show on ESPN. You watch Ron Jaworski on that with Merrill Hodge, one of my favorite all-time shows, to give you thorough breakdowns of each week's NFL games. Greg, let's talk about the rest of the board as it applies to the Browns, too. So they got the 26th pick. They've got a lot of needs. You could go multiple ways there. How do you see this team going? And in particular, with receiver being important, is that a good place to get a guy, given what you also know about this receiver class?
Oh, yeah. This is, Vic, this is a super deep receiver class. And you have to decide. This is where I think you have to make major decisions as to quality of player and where you can get the player and look at your entire board. For instance, I think the Browns, we would all agree, probably need a corner. Would you not agree?
Absolutely. Yes, it's on the need list.
Okay, so here's what you have to decide. How do I – can I get a great – you know, a potentially great corner at 26 and a good receiver, let's say, in the third round, or do I feel like I have to get that receiver in the first round and maybe there's a corner I still really like that I think will be there in the third round? This is where you have to sort of play the draft in your mind and to try to maximize what you do, because at some point that's what the draft is. You're trying to not just get one player, you're trying to get five or six potential starters here. So you have to play the draft. Now, as far as receiver, a player who blew up the combine and he's terrific on film is Odell Beckham.
Yep.
And
Kleiman.
And I really like Odell Beckham. Now, whether he's there at 26, he could be because of size. He's under 6 feet. He's under 200 pounds. I don't know how he'll be seen by teams, but I think in an expansive pass offense, he could be a terrific player.
Greg, when you talk about these receivers, one of the debates that we've been having on here, is the gap big enough between Sammy Watkins and, say, a Mike Evans and Odell Beckham, a Brandon Cooks, Marquise Lee, that if you're at four and the Browns decide they don't want a quarterback, that you stay at four and take Watkins, or do you maybe trade from four down to the middle of the first round to pick up more assets in this very deep draft and go with a guy like an Evans or a Beckham?
Well, you know, that's a really tough call. I mean, I think that it probably comes down to how you view the rest of your needs, because I really like Sammy Watkins, and I'm on record already as saying that I think Watkins is the best receiver to come out since A.J. Green and,
right,
and Julio Jones in 2011. But having said that, if, you know, they do have Josh Gordon, if you get another quality wideout, okay, I think you're probably okay. I mean, if you end up, I mean, just think of it this way: if you are able to trade and you end up with your two starting wideouts as Josh Gordon and, let's say, Mike Evans, or Josh Gordon and Odell Beckham, I think you'd have two pretty good wideouts. So, you know, again, that's the decision you have to make, because the draft, and Vic knows this very well, you know, it's not held in a vacuum, you know, particularly when you have a lot of needs to fill.
And the Browns certainly do. I want to ask you about the quarterback position again, going back to it. You like Bortles best. I like Bridgewater. But let's say the Browns don't take a quarterback at four and want to wait. Of the guys that could be had either late first, maybe a Derek Carr, a Garoppolo, or somebody that would be later, an Aaron Murray, do you see any value in those later quarterbacks, and would be your personal favorite?
Yeah, I you know, again, Nathan, this is not a great class to me. I mean, I don't, you know, I struggle with some of the guys you mentioned. I'm probably most intrigued by Zach Mettenberger because of the way he throws it, but there's certainly concerns about him as well, not only with the knee injury, but he is a little bit plodding. He's not really a mover. You don't necessarily have to run around, but you've got to be able to avoid and reset, and I think teams would have legitimate questions about that. The lower group, to me, then I think you're just reaching and hoping. I mean, A.J. McCarron just doesn't throw it well enough, in my view, to be an NFL starter. Taj Boyd is short again and an erratic thrower, and I think he's a guy you'd probably have to try to tailor your offense around what he does. I like Aaron Murray a lot as a player in college, but I think short pocket quarterbacks with slightly above average arm strength are not usually quality NFL starters.
Right, right. And to talk about short quarterbacks and your cohort at NFL Films and on the
Made a little news today.
Show. Made a little news today. When the jaws open up, people listen. Ron Jaworski says that Johnny Manziel would be a guy that he wouldn't even take in the first three rounds. He said it was an incomplete evaluation, but through a half dozen or so games that he has studied, he feels that way. So where do you weigh in on that?
I'd be relatively close to Jaws on that, and I'm trying to figure out, Vic, ways to sort of present this. See, what I keep reading on Twitter, particularly when I do shows, and then people get back to me and say, and what they say is, yeah, but he makes plays. And I got to tell you, what are we hanging our hat on when you analyze and evaluate Johnny Manziel hard? And I've watched probably 500 dropbacks. So what are we hanging our hat on? Are we hanging our hat on the fact that he can make some spectacular plays outside of structure? Is that what people will say, that he can make plays? I'm not sure. In fact, I know that if that's the one attribute you're counting on for Johnny Manziel to be a high-level NFL quarterback, I have to tell you, I think you're going to be a little disappointed.
Just a little. I think so, too. One of the big needs for the Cleveland Browns is an inside linebacker, and specifically one that can play all three downs and cover in nickel-type situations. In this draft, I know C.J. Mosley, somebody that I like, Borland. Who do you like at that position?
Well, I love Mosley, and I haven't done all the linebackers yet, so I can only tell you who I've seen. Mosley, to me, is a plug-and-play player. He's a three-down player. And he theoretically fits, you know, this so-called new NFL because he's a little lighter. I think there's probably a relatively fair comparison to someone like Levante David, who's now with the Bucs and has had two really good seasons. I think Mosley is a terrific player, and that's where the combine does help you, in that I was able to watch him through the drills, and he's such an easy, fluid mover. When he was doing those backpedal drills and the lateral agility drills, he almost looked like a safety the way he moved. But, you know, again, now it comes down to priority, because I don't think Mosley will be there after pick 15.
Right. No, you're right about that, and that was I think that's my concern, because I'd love to see this guy on this team. I think it's legitimate for the Browns to be thinking about an inside linebacker in particular, the position addressed as early as possible, and I think that's going to be a growing priority for the Browns as we move closer to the draft and maybe even just sooner than that. Greg Cosell is joining us from NFL Films. Of course, he's the man of the tape. He breaks down football tape about as well as anybody. So, Greg, as we look to at some of the people at this combine who did some things to maybe enhance their stock, what about Jadeveon Clowney and trying to figure out what he is all about?
Yeah.
Because I've heard Bill Polian, for one, went into in defense of the fact that he considers him one of the more NFL-ready guys that should be picked in this draft and picked high. Pointing out to those who saw a dramatic drop-off in sack production from last year to this year, pointing to the double teams, triple teams that he gets. How much weight do you give that?
Some, but not a ton. There's many, many plays in which he's not double teamed, obviously. So there's a lot to look at. I think that's an easy thing to say for people who don't do what I do, which doesn't make me smarter or better. It's just I get to see more plays. When you watch a whole game and you see 80 plays, that's a lot different than just seeing a few on a highlight. Look, my evaluation of Clowney is when I looked at him last summer after last year, I thought that he had size, explosion, quickness, speed, balance. I thought that he had almost every attribute you looked for. Now, then he played this year, okay? And I'm not a believer in, oh, just look back the previous year. All the games matter. And I think there's a couple of things that you'd look at. You know, and again, it doesn't mean he won't be a great player. There's no question he's very quick off the ball. That's especially to the inside. That's his signature move. But at times he stands up at the snap and plays a little too high. If he does that consistently in the NFL, he'll have a problem. Some will see him as a little stiff. He's a little straight line-ish as opposed to flexible. He's not a true bend-the-edge guy. Now, his speed is tremendous. His closing speed is unbelievable. Sometimes against the run, he'd run down people all the way across the field. You know, he definitely has attributes you look for. The inconsistent compete level is a concern. I talk to a lot of coaches about that. Some guys say that's in a guy's DNA. So that's something you have to decide how you feel about that.
It is, and that's a question when you're making such a heavy investment in him.
Yep.
Today, Daniel Jeremiah said that the Browns truly covet not Johnny Manziel, but Derek Carr at quarterback. And I've watched every snap of him this year, and he does some things that are wonderful, and he does some things that scare you, doesn't handle pressure up the middle very well, and they do happen to do that in the NFL from time to time. So, Greg, what do you think about Derek Carr, and can he be a starting quarterback in this league?
Well, you know, he comes from that offense with the true spread, a lot of one-step drops and get rid of the ball. So what you have to really evaluate carefully, you have to evaluate his footwork. He's not going to have any feel at this time, although I'm sure he's working with coaches on it now and tutors, but he has no feel for the three-step, five-step, seven-step drop pass game and sort of the rhythm of the drop.
Right.
And that's very important. Okay, that's number one. Number two, he very rarely faced pressure because of the quickness of that one-step drop pass game. So you really have to try to find those sample of plays in which there is pressure and evaluate his response. I've done that. It's been very up and down, very erratic. But you do see some NFL throws when you watch. You did see vertical seams. You saw back shoulder. You saw deep posts, you did see NFL throws. Now, the kid's got the mentality of a pocket quarterback. He's willing to turn it loose, and I like that. He's going to stick it in there, and he does have a big arm, and he's got a quick arm. So there's things to like, and there's things that he'll need to be taught.
Outstanding. Greg, thank you. We could go on and on with you for a long time, but this
is
tremendous, and appreciate the time, and I'm sure we'll visit again.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
He is Greg Cosell, the one and only from NFL Films, NFL Network, breaking down the players in this 2014 draft. Vic and Nathan, got a little more with you and a wrap-up coming up here next. Oh, this is the end of
this is
Jason,
it, man.
Jason Gibbs, our producer, saying, "Okay,
the
we're
end
done.
Of the line.
We took it to the limits.
That's what you do when you get Greg Cosell and Dane Brugler on the show.
I wanted to squeeze out more because I was having too much fun. All right. Well, anyway, we do want to thank Greg Cosell. We want to thank Dane Brugler from CBSSports.com. I want to thank Megan Rock for not only tweeting today but teeing up those big three picks. And I thought she took a big step forward today in her chances to announce the draft in the future in New York. So that's coming your way. And also check out the Browns Daily Wrap, the text highlights of the show that will be posted later today on ClevelandBrowns.com. Our producer extraordinaire, Jason Gibbs. Stay tuned for Hooley and Gerard. That is coming up next. Thank you for being with us on yet another spectacular edition of Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.